Just a pleasure to welcome back Louis Navalier. He runs Navalier & Associates, editor of at least four leading stock newsletters. Welcome back, Louis Navalier.
It's an honor to be here.
Start off with better than expected U.S. numbers, the lowest unemployment since 1969, five-decade low around 3.7, 3.8%. Do you expect this trend to continue, and what does that mean for investors?
Yeah, we have peace and prosperity. We've got retail sales that picked up, remain strong. We've got factory orders, durable goods are strong. They're actually going to revise that first quarter GDP number higher. Because we had all this good news in March that they didn't have when they made the flash estimate. And for first quarter GDP to be 3+% is amazing because usually the GDP gets the weather. And you may remember the media was telling everybody that the government shut down the economy. Well, somehow we grew over 3% when the government was temporarily shut down. So I find that very interesting. And we're going in the second quarter with a lot of momentum. Earnings have come out a lot better on the market, and interest rates continue to collapse. The 10-year Treasury is trying to break 2.4%, and that's a big deal. So I'm very, very confident. Obviously, there's some trade things going on. I don't expect a full resolution of the trade tit-for-tat with China because we filed suit against their big 5G company, and there's big intellectual property fights going on. But outside of 5G, I think they're going to resolve some things. So a lot to look forward to here.
We also are noticing better than expected manufacturing numbers. How much of that narrative do you think might be related to more defensive trade strategy and or slash domestic tariffs that we've seen $200 billion more in the direction of our top trading partner? Not terribly pleased about that, but solid manufacturing numbers. Is that the tariff story, or is it just a stronger economy?
Well, that's a good question. So let's just dig into the details here. So our exports to China keep rising. They're importing more fuel and food, mostly soybeans, but they were also doing that to go into our trade negotiations. Now, our deficit with China hit a three-year low. So China was trying to look good on these trade negotiations, but Trump is very clear, like, stop stealing our intellectual property, blah, 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 or you're going to have 25%. So he upped it from 10 to 25. He wants them uncomfortable. I'm sure culturally there's some issues going on because, you know, they don't respect all the intellectual property rights in China and everything. So I think there will be a partial resolution where some things will go back to 10% tariffs. And wherever we disagree on, we'll remain at 25. But, Trump's not messing around. No one's surprised by this. It does make the Costcos, the Amazons more powerful if you do have tariffs on our goods, because obviously the government will be taxing them. It's just going to be fascinating to watch. But it's also bipartisan. You know, Chuck Schumer was pushing the president to hold tough and everything. So a lot of the manufacturing is going to Vietnam and Thailand and Taiwan and... you know, they built a Foxconn facility in Wisconsin that never was staffed. So that's embarrassing for the president. Maybe he is purposely trying to divert more manufacturing to America with the bigger tariffs. So we'll see what happens. But I think, it's the bottom line is Trump wants you uncomfortable and you negotiate with him and he made the Chinese very uncomfortable. So we're going to have some sort of resolution on this.
The president has also mentioned that he'd like to see the benchmark overnight lending rate drop at least 1%. And as you mentioned earlier, rates are dropping, at least here. The new rate cut cycle as soon as December or January of next year. Do you expect then for this to maybe spur more corporate buybacks as issuing debt will be more affordable?
I think interest rates are flat as a pancake. I think that they're going down because of market rates around the world. You have zero rates in Japan. You have zero rates in Europe. You have that Brexit delay that's going to keep rates down. Europe is putting more stimulus on. So there is international capital flight to America, and that's pushing our yields lower. The strong dollars also have squelched inflation because commodities are priced in dollars. So I see a very low interest rate environment. Now, the Fed thinks this is a lull. We'll see. I know Trump is trying to influence the Fed. You know, his last two nominees had to resign. Herman Cade got Gloria Allred went after Herman Cade, and then of course I know Steve Moore very well from money shows and stuff, and it's unfortunate he had to resign. But Trump's trying to put his people on the Fed. Of course, the Fed's a weird little club. But I do think if market rates continue to fall, the Fed will follow market rates slower. But there's also gossip right now that because of what Trump is doing with China, it could cause the Fed to cut. I don't really buy that at this moment. But if market rates continue to fall, the Fed will cut rates because they never fight market rates.
Do you then expect this freight train of U.S. equities to continue higher? I mean, it seems as though global investors have few other go-to markets to consider. The IPO market remains solid. We're at least a decade now into this bull market. Would you be surprised by a 20% correction?
Well, you can have these corrections at any time. Since market's gone higher, it's got more narrow. They are hitting the strongest sector, which are semiconductors, which had the biggest bounce since December. But a lot of those semiconductors didn't have earnings. I've noticed the ones with earnings, like Xilinx, holds up amazingly well. I do think the market has gotten more narrow, more fundamentally focused. It's definitely very yield hungry right now. The stocks with the big dividend yields are holding up remarkably well. But I think any correction would be short-lived. Now, at the second half of May, we tend to get all the stock buybacks. We had $227 billion buybacks in the first quarter. Apple announced that this buybacks were $75 billion. So the second quarter buybacks could be bigger. So I really think that every time the market goes down, then the bargain hunters come out. And whether it's the companies themselves doing the buybacks, the people chasing dividend yield. But, you know, the S&P yields over 1.9, 10-year treasuries, about to crack 2.4, and of course the interest is taxed at 40.8 federal, and dividends are taxed at 23.8. So anyone that has money is going to have a stock bias because it yields you more to stay in the market than to leave the market. So I think any corrections short lived. You know, our corrections last year in 2018 were all arbitrage driven. They were mostly ETF driven. One of the more fascinating things that happened last year is SPY is the biggest and most liquid ETF out there. It's based on the S&P 500. But aftermarket, it went up 13% last year after the market closed. And then during market hours, it went down 17%. So people were literally buying it at the close and selling it at the opening and doing this arbitrage to try to make 30% just on price differentials. So that's the biggest threat to the market, in my opinion, the fact that things aren't always priced properly, okay? And these ARB people come out of the woodwork every now and then. So to me, that would be the biggest threat to the market.
Real estate is obviously an important component of our domestic economy. It spills over into so many other sectors. With the threat of higher rates over the past year or so, many consumers and potential single-family home buyers tabled their plans to buy a new home or even, you know, a secondary home with rates expected to decline over the next year or two. That might bring back some of the buyers and act as a secondary boost to the domestic economy.
In the high tax states, it's not doing well. And in the low property tax states, it's doing much better. So low property tax states are like Nevada, Arizona, Colorado. It's interesting. I live in Florida, but I live in a high tax county with really high property tax. The expensive homes are not moving. In fact, there's a lot of them for sale, even though Florida is growing. We tell everybody that in Florida they might want to move to a red county or something because they'll have lower property taxes. So I think because of the deductibility of real estate property taxes, I think you want to be in a low tax state with low property taxes. And at the right price point, you know, every real estate market has a line. So I have a home in Reno, Nevada, and there everything under 700,000 sells real fast. Everything above it is soft. Here in South Florida, I would respectfully argue that anything under $1.5 million sells real good, and then above $1.5 million has to sit a little longer. So I think that's that's the key is to have homes priced right. I'm not an expert in the Carolinas and everything, but again, the lower the property taxes, I think the higher the real estate's going to be.
Okay, and everybody enjoys the Navalier stock candidates, and you've had some excellent picks in the past. And you also keep an eye on the energy sector. Can you maybe give us some of the more intriguing shares that you're watching closely across a few key sectors?
Well, let me just mention something about NVIDIA. We actually put a sell on that some time ago. It has two bad quarters, so we're looking to do a big push on it in August of next year. August of this year after these two bad quarters come out. But they dominate all the artificial intelligence driving. I know my publisher's doing some promo on it right now, but the main thing, we're looking to buy a lot of NVIDIA in late August after after it announces two more quarters of lackluster results, and then it'll be time to hit the gas on it. The big story is that the U.S. is the biggest energy producer in the world. That's why we can be assertive with Venezuela, with Iran. We are controlling world energy prices right now. That is why the trade deficit continues to be very favorable, because we export energy now. China's one of the big export markets for our energy. So, and we're still adding production. They keep taking natural gas pipelines, putting a liner in them to transport more crude oil. This is a big deal. Now, as far as the companies go, they're having tough year-over-year comparisons right now. But in the fall, I'll probably be adding a lot of energy companies. I want to see how much oil prices fall, because demand tends to fall in after Labor Day. And if they level off at a good price, I'll probably be adding a lot. But it's interesting how the big majors, like a ConocoPhillips, are now getting in all the shale stuff. So this fracking and big shale development is here to stay, because the majors, funny, they abandoned that area, and now they're all back in it again.
So then you expect the general theme of recovery in West Texas Intermediate crude to continue. You know, if you're looking for stronger economic conditions, that typically bodes well for the energy sector.
Yeah, it does bode well. I think the one twist we had in energy is when Venezuela went offline, won't send them the money as long as Maduro's in power. We'll process their oil, we'll refine it, but we won't send them the money. It goes in some trust till Maduro leaves. What happened is that tightened up the crack spreads, because the Venezuelan oil is mostly heavy sour. What's going on is, as the crack spreads get tighter, it kind of messes with the refinery profits. But the WTI is benefits when the spreads are wide, okay? And the spreads are a little tight right now. But it's, listen, Texas is booming. I'd be curious just how much more economic growth is going to be in Texas, at least a third.
And as we wrap up, we have all the links to the Navalier websites and information. Is there any specific info or websites you'd like to mention and or direct our listeners to today?
Well, on Navalier.com, that's our management company. We have a free service there called Market Mail, and I encourage everybody to sign up for it. It comes out every Tuesday. And there's five of us that write, so if you want constant market updates, that's a good place. We also do podcasts and things during fast market conditions. We've done two this week, as an example. Both Navalier.com and NavalierGrowth.com, which is my newsletter site, have free databases out there. The stock graders, the dividend graders. And so you should feel free to key in your stocks and see how they rank. You can save portfolios. But we do give our research away free in the public domain. But we're just here to empower people. But the market's going to get more narrow, more selective. It usually does as it goes higher. But I'm very, very encouraged right now. Sales are much stronger than expected. Economic growth is much stronger than expected. Whatever uncertainty we've had will soon be over. Tit for tat with China is coming to a head here. So I think it's a very, very interesting market. And the big story is the market keeps dying from buybacks. So I think it'll continue to meander higher.
We can't thank you enough and look forward to further commentary in 2019.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Anything you can help, let us know. Take care.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Manny Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Manny Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Manny Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. But sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Manny Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange, and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to Manny's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, Manny Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.